today on a special edition of the AF podcast, and on a Sunday, no less. Never have I released a podcast on a Sunday before, but there's a first time for everything. And as fans of the Raptors and or the city of Toronto, we might be witnessing an NBA title in the GTA, and it actually doesn't involve somebody playing 2K to make it happen. So today on the AF podcast, I'm joined by my South Shire family member, Headley, as we discuss Game 4 of the Raptors-Warriors series and the possibility of the Raptors bringing home the Larry O'Brien Trophy. South Shire is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Listen, rate and review, and subscribe to all the shows from South Shire. And you can continue to listen to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Make sure you rate and review these episodes as well. 5 stars. Please, 5 stars. 5 stars. And to catch up on my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. We the North. The North. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow. What? Wow. Wow.
I told you this is in Portland.
Wow. Wow. There's no introduction needed. I mean, wow.
That's as great as the second half I've seen them play.
Oh, man. That was truly impressive on many fronts. This is the question I normally ask at the beginning of every one of these Raptors post-game podcasts. Are you going to rock New Balance, Headley?
Dude, my kids already got New Balance. I'm going to be looking for some. You know, yo, I'm different. You know, I used New Balance when I was doing track.
Right, true. I
might have to be really, like a real father and get some New Balance walking shoes. After this, straight up.
Just don't get the gray ones. Just don't get the gray ones.
Hey, dude, I'll rock it with suits. I don't care. New Balance is it.
I need two things. I need the Kawhi sneakers, and I need a fun guy shirt. I need the fun guy shirt. And if they make a Board Man Gets Paid, I think I need that one too.
Buckets.
Yeah. Right. Buckets. Buckets. All right. So, what is your takeaways from game four tonight?
Well, as we were finishing that or going into the last quarter, I basically think the series is done. I don't care if KD comes back. They're not winning 3 in a row. They're not winning 2 on the road. If KD comes back, he's not 100%.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like Paul Pierce and say that it's over.
Yeah, he had a prediction right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't see this team losing 3 in a row. I don't care if Jesus Christ comes back.
No, listen, Jesus got a post game. Get out of here. Jesus got a post game.
It is not happening.
Jesus got a post game. I think Jesus can take him back to 7.
Yo, quietly as kept, this, if it wasn't for that bad third quarter in game 2, this was a wrap. This was a sweep.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been.
Dude, it was a sweep. They had a 12-point lead with a couple minutes going into halftime. Or in the last minute, it got shrunk to 5. And Warriors came out 18 points in a row.
Yeah, it went. They were up 5. They're up 5 at halftime, and then by the time they were done, it was a 13-point lead.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Raptors were up 12, and then cut it down to 5, and then that third quarter killed us.
Yeah,
we only end up losing the game by 5, and at 3 by Iggy shouldn't even count it because Steph had traveled.
Not even that, but Kawhi almost stole that pass. He missed it by like a millisecond.
But regardless, he missed them. I'm saying that they missed the call refs. So I'm saying this easily could have been a sweep.
Well, one thing's for sure that we know. I mean,
did the Raptors win all their games by double digits?
I believe so. I was gonna say yeah. Well, the one thing I know for sure, like the one thing for sure, is they've clearly been the better team these four games. Like pretty much outside of like they've been pretty much the dominant
team.
Dude, they lost the whole team.
They lost one quarter. That's what I'm saying. They lost one quarter, or this would have been a sweep.
It hasn't always looked the prettiest, but you know, like I was saying before in the last podcast, I'm like, you can't care about style points at this point. You know what I mean? Like
it's the great teams. I remember the teams of the Bulls in the 90s. They've had some ugly wins, but that's what a great team can do. They can win ugly. I mean, just look at this game. That first half was not pretty.
No,
we couldn't hit a shot. We couldn't hit an outside shot. We couldn't get any kind of offensive rebounding. But we still, the game was what, 4 point? Was it 4 points deficit? We were going in at halftime.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that was actually pretty good, considering.
Yeah, and then the second half, as you're right, there was a tale of two halves. In the second half, man, they put down one of the best performances that they put on all season. And
I've never seen them. Yo, talk about pushing the ball. Man, their cardio was crazy in that second. Like on make field goals, they were pushing that ball up. Not even off misses and trying to get fast. On makes, they were pushing that ball up, man.
You know, Golden State they threw some good shots out, but Toronto did a great job weathering the storm as they've had for I would say the most part throughout the playoffs when they've had the team on a major run they've kind of weathered the storm. And the fact that they didn't fold Headley is a trait that they finally quit for the most part, because in years past, you know, when a team went on the blitz like this, that lead would go from 10 to 15 to 25 real quick, and then the game is basically over. And but you
we
know,
have a new we have a new leader in Kawhi.
Yeah,
they we keep had, we had DeMar leading us before. Yeah. No offense.
No.
He's not Kawhi.
Absolutely right. And that's what I mean. Like I keep saying it throughout the playoffs. I said it all year. That especially in basketball, the team reflects the attitude and the reflection of the leader. So if your leader's calm, the rest of the team's gonna be calm. And it's weird to see. I wouldn't say it's weird to see. It was great to see that throughout the playoffs, you slowly saw them start to take Kawhi's lead in terms of his traits. I mean, like you could see as each series went along, they got more and more calm as time went along.
Well, you know what? As Big Brother Kurt has always said, and we've all agreed, we've been trying to win with B players leading us. We had two B players in Lowry and Didi. We didn't have an A.
Yeah, we had all stars. We had all stars.
You know what I mean? Exactly. But this is what happens when you upgrade. One thing I want to talk about real quick. Well, actually, two things I want to say real quick.
Not trading. One, not trading Kyle in the offseason. Let's keep it positive right now.
No, I'm not talking about that.
All right.
I told everybody that would listen. Steph had a great game three, but if anyone thought that he was going to have the leg after playing a game like he did in game three, and 2 days later to play game four like that, I was expecting a letdown. Mind you, his defense was absolutely horrendous.
Today, it was brutal today.
But just in terms of shots falling and just, you know, having his shots being short, his legs not underneath him. Yo, the performance that he did, even though that Clay was coming back, but also again, Clay's not 100%. We don't know what kind of physical shape he's in after that injury.
Right.
If this wasn't the playoffs, he might still be sitting out.
No, he would have been sitting out. Not might have been. He would have been.
Exactly. So I was like, but mind you, Looney played a lot better than I expected, though, considering that they said he has like a fractured shoulder blade or whatever
chest,
the case may be.
I think it's a his chest. Collarbone or something like that in his chest, yeah.
But I hate the narrative that people are talking about, okay, Golden State is injured. Did people give a shit when Golden State won the first year when both Kyrie and Kevin Love was out?
Yeah, and I'll always concede they would have won that anyway, but regardless of the fact, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, and I agree with you because I think I mentioned that last podcast. At the end of the day, like it's sports. It happens, and like I'll say in this, I think the Game 2 podcast. When you watch NBA history, especially teams that go on lengthy championship runs, yo, the shit takes a toll on you. You know, the Golden State's in their fifth final. So the wear and tear that you're seeing, I'll say it again, I'm not exactly shocked. You know what I mean? Because
just like, mentally, it's hard for you to keep sharp like that.
Yeah, too. It's tough. It's tough to do. It's tough to do. That's why most teams don't, when they start to crack, you know, that's usually the end of it. Now with Golden State, I think the difference with them is because their run started off when they were so young, like they weren't even in their real primes yet, that I think they still, like, they're by no means, even if they lose, by no means is this the end for Golden State. I think what they do is, especially if KD doesn't come back, they go back to how they were in 2015 and 2016, and they reload their roster and try to make it as deep as possible, right?
But the problem is, what I tell people is that, yes, this team won without KD, but the problem is, in getting a player like KD, they had to let a lot of pieces go.
Yeah,
this team is not as good defensively as they were back in those years. Remember, I think we even talked about this on a pod. Everybody was talking about how Houston was the team to beat Golden State. And if Houston won, that was the finals. And remember, I told you, I said, I don't think Houston can beat Toronto. I don't think Houston can beat
Milwaukee,
the Bucks.
Yeah, I didn't believe that either.
Exactly, because I was saying, like, everybody thinks is that, okay, to beat Golden State, is you have to have the most arsenal offense to beat them. And that's how come people have said Houston was the best heir apparent to them. But it's like, no, they're not as good defensively as they've been in the past. And if you have guys that can screw with them defensively and keep them under a certain amount of points and still have a decent offense, you have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the rest of the NBA is seeing how nuts our fans are.
Like,
everybody's been seeing the Jurassic Park, and I even saw TV today that they showed the Jurassic Park, like, across the country. They showed it in Saskatchewan. They showed it in Hamilton. They're showing all the different cities. But the way Toronto, the Raptors showed up in the Oracle, Kitty, Shaq, and Chuck and the rest of the boys were trying to do their post-talk. And you had them seeing old Canada in Oracle 30 minutes after the game is done. You've never seen that anywhere before. Nowhere.
You know, it's funny. It reminds me of when Dallas beat Miami the first time. And I remember Mark Cuban was saying, like, yo, in Miami, he was like, yo, our fans bitched out Miami's fans. They were more causing the ruckus. And in this case now, you could kind of say the same thing right now with the Raptors, because that shit is unbelievable. It's a sea of people.
Yo, big up to Julian, a.k.a. the commish, who's out there right now representing us in that crowd.
For people who don't know, he went to Game 4 to go watch that game with Joel Ward, with his brother. I'm sure you can go on some Instagram clips, because Joel's picture's running around wearing a Scarborough Ute hat. Which is
TSN.
Yeah, TSN official. If you go on at TSN official, you'll see some of the pics from there. But he's wearing wearing a Scarborough Ute hat. Yeah, fire hat.
Caught it straight. Yeah,
fire hat. But it's funny. I want to touch on something real quick. It's amazing that Jurassic Park has the energy that has caught fever all across the country, except for Montreal.
Just say it's set for Quebec. What do you want to say?
I'm like, what the hell? Really? You know, I'm seeing it all over the place. I'm like, wow. So Montreal, you just ain't jumping in on it, really? That's what we doing here? Okay. a few things we got to talk about. Got to talk about Kawhi. Kawhi, Kawhi, Kawhi. That's Kawhi, Kawhi.
Dude, Kawhi. Let's talk about this, because 30? I haven't been on the pod since talked about man's bought a new home. This talk that he's re-upping for a short contract. Yo, I really... You seen how the city is right now. Just imagine once we win and this parade comes, how stupid this place is.
I know.
He can't leave, man.
Right now, we're in the midst of a love affair with Kawhi right now. And it's sad because I think as heartbroken as a lot of Raptors fans were for that trade and losing DeMar, they've gotten over that pretty quickly. They don't even mention it, you know, and I'm not to knock DeMar, but like they don't even mention that anymore. Like they're all in. Like they are all in on Kawhi. It's an extended love affair that
winning does.
No, but honestly, I've never seen that in like the way they've embraced him. But that's what, as you said, that's what championship winning does.
Like this before?
That's what I'm saying. Not in this city.
That's what I said. That's what winning does.
Yeah. It's incredible. That's what championship winning can do. And the fact that the Raptors are one win away. I mean, listen, man, Kawhi took control from the very beginning of this game, man. Like he put his stamp on this game from opening tip. It was extremely impressive.
He was the only one hitting threes in the first half.
He was the only one scoring really in the first half.
Well, but then he went eighth in the third quarter though.
Yeah.
That dude hit like, I think he had like 17, 18 points in half his points was in the third quarter. Where they basically opened it up to double digits.
17 in the third, right.
17, there you go. And how much do you have for the game? What, 35?
36, 12, 2 assists, 4 steals, and a block. 5 threes hit tonight. Made defensive stops, deflections, tips. I mean, he did it all. You can't ask for anything better than what he did tonight. Like, he put a stamp on the game from point one.
I've never seen a player who came into the league with mediocre offense to this type of offense.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, the jump that this guy has done in his offensive abilities, it's crazy.
Well, again, Headley, this guy had no jumper coming into the league. He didn't have a jump shot. He was a good player. I remember him in San Diego State. He was nice. But he didn't have a jump shot, and he sure as hell didn't have these handles. He was a forward. He was a power forward, basically, in college. So what he's doing here is it's
beyond. I think he's always a small forward, though.
Yeah, but he was like an old-school small forward. He was the old-school, like, James Worthy small forward that wasn't bringing the ball before.
Remember I was watching that old vid when he was in Toronto as a 19-year-old, and they said that his game was comparison to Gerald Wallace.
Yeah,
and that does make sense. Back in the day,
yeah, back then they said too. Like when they had the lockout, the Spurs basically before the lockout happened, they left him with stuff to work on, and they said by the time the lockout came back, he fixed everything. He fixed the issues that they were looking at. Like everything they asked him to work on during the lockout, he completed everything. So they said right from there, they were like, oh wow, like this guy's work ethic is. Like it's even surpassed what we were even thinking of.
We've heard for years about his 3 days in the off season.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like he goes to work.
To touch on the second half again, I mean, one thing about the Raptors though, this especially this postseason is there's always that one guy that comes through unexpectedly. It's never a consistent number two guy. You know what I mean?
It's like true, you're right.
So for example, like Fred VanVleet, Game 5 of the Bucks series. He was the man that night. I think it was Game 4. Gasol had like a big day against Philly, back in the Philly series. And Serge today was that guy. Like to come off the bench and give them 20 points. And it was like at one point, him and Kawhi were the only ones really getting buckets. And it was needed. Like we needed every one of his baskets. It was such a presence out there for him to have. And then I think afterwards, everybody stepped in. And let me say this, man, before you jump in. Kyle Lowry, man. Yo, that second half, I was so impressed with how he played in the second half. That guy made every pass you needed to make, every defensive play you needed to make, every shot that he had to take, he took the right shots. He made the right play every single time. Honestly, I don't even care that he only ended up with 10 points. That was probably some of the most impressive play that I've seen him do for wire to wire in the second half. That was awesome.
I still think Siakam is there too, but in terms of that third fiddle, you're right. That third fiddle always seems to be flexing from game to game, but somebody always steps up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That fills that gap. Yeah. Lowry, you're right. Lowry in the second half, it's just passing off the dribble with cuts to the paint. It was incredible. It's about time. Like, I mean, it's funny, like yeah, he played good, but I'm like, man, Lowry, this is what you're supposed to do. So, yeah, it was, he played well. He's due.
Yeah, I know you're saying that begrudgingly because you're not a fan of his, but but with that said, it doesn't matter. Like I said, at this point, you can't worry about style points. You know, you got to take it how they come. And the fact that they're up 3-1, I mean, it's a beautiful thing right now, especially for the city. Like this is fucking unbelievable, man. I'm again at a loss for words right now in terms of what I'm seeing tonight. Like that was incredible. That was incredible.
We all went into the series, especially knowing that KD was out. We all felt like this could be had. I know Vegas didn't think that. I mean, they punked us. But we all felt that with KD out, especially with KD out, Toronto has more than a fighting chance. I mean, shit, we have home court advantage. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, they had some other injuries that went down during the series that obviously helped us. But, yo, let's not forget, the Bucks series and even the Sixers series, Kawhi wasn't healthy.
I know.
There was points that this guy couldn't get any lift off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? That's because he's a cyborg.
He really is, man.
It's because he's a cyborg.
He really is. But then again, you know what? It's going to be very interesting what other teams start doing with load management next season. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, it's clearly because it's worked.
It's worked. It's worked textbook for Toronto this year. Completely textbook. Because, I mean, who knows if he played an extra 20 games, would he be as fresh as he is now?
Well, he said in an interview today with Rachel Nichols, he was like, if he played the full season normally, he said he wouldn't be here right now. So, like, the load management was something that was actually needed. Like, you know.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, who knows, right? All I know is that we did load management, and that surely is working.
Yeah, you can't argue with it.
You can't argue with it because look at what's the results, right? The only thing is, you saw, I don't know if you saw it during the game today, they slashed the record. I already knew what our record was without Kawhi was 17-5, but then they also showed our record without Lowry, which was still positive.
Yeah.
Like, we were 30-13 without both those games with both of those guys playing. So that just goes how strong the team is as a whole. Not a lot of teams could take out the first one of their two All-Stars and still command a record like that. So it is funny because, you know, Bucks have the best record in the league, but you cannot tell me Toronto wouldn't have had two more wins if they played all their players and not have the best record.
Yeah. Yeah, they easily could have, because they only finished two games behind Milwaukee.
Only. And I think at least they lost three of the four games to Milwaukee in the series, I think.
Yeah, I know Kawhi didn't play in like two of them, I don't believe.
Yeah, so. I know you missed at least one or two for sure.
All right, so you know what? Before we wrap up, just got a couple of things I wanna just address right here real quick. What is your expectations for Game 5? What do you expect to see in Game 5?
I think it's finished.
Okay.
And I don't think KD's coming to play. I think KD's injury is a lot more severe than we all think. It's not no sprain. It's probably a tear. He's never going to come back. This is just a way to, I guess, to downplay it. But I think it's a wrap, honestly.
Yeah, well, a few things. Number one, I mean, if there's a team that could come back from a 3-1 deficit, it's Golden State. Now, because it's in their DNA, I mean, mind you, they gave up a 3-1 lead a few years ago, but in that same year, they came back from a 3-1 lead. Now, mind you, you know, as we discussed, this team isn't as deep as those teams were, but it is in their DNA. So I wouldn't totally rule them out in terms of being able to come back. I'm not saying they're going to win Game 5, but it wouldn't totally shock me if they came and won, right? Because, again, this is in their DNA. But with that said, I just want to ask you a quick question.
Can I just rebut that for a second? The difference when they came back last time from 3-1, they had home court advantage. They played Game 7 at home against OKC, correct?
Yeah, but
They're gonna have to win 2 out of 3 in Toronto. I just don't see that happening. Go ahead with your last question, though.
Okay, so the question I wanted to ask is, where does this trade, this Kawhi trade, rank for you in NBA history?
You know, I mean, as you said, we're in a love fest right now, so I don't want to discredit other trades that might have happened. And I just can't think of them right. I can't think of any other trade at the top of my head that came with such scrutiny, because DeMar was beloved. The storyline behind it, where no player ever wanted to come to the city, and he was a one all-star that basically
he bled for Toronto.
Wrapped himself in the Maple Leaf. Yeah. So just in that regards, for you to trade your heart and soul for a guy who's on a rental with just a 1-year contract,
who didn't want to come here to start.
Yeah, didn't want to come here. Coming off an injury, so we really didn't know what we were getting in terms of if we were getting to the full value Kawhi or not. The narrative, how we got knocked out of the playoffs, 4 or 5 years in a row, a couple sweeps, then we can't forget about firing the coach of the year, promoting his assistant, and then in 1 year, on the verge of winning a championship, having the whole country go Raptor. I can't think of another trade that has as high impact on just the culture, the winning, and the impact it has on the country or the city or whatever outside of sports than this one. And, you know, I might be caught in emotion right now, but I can't think of one. Can you?
Well, I wrote down a quick little list. So in the last 20 years, right? So in the last 20 years, I'm not gonna rank them. So in the last 20 years, I'd put the KG, the Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen trade for Boston, and I'm talking in terms of immediate impact, where it led to a championship or led to a finals, right? So that trade immediately led to Boston winning a title. They went from a lottery team to the champions of the world, and they went on a lengthy run. So you have that one. I would say Detroit trading for Rasheed Wallace midseason in 2004, and then ended up solidifying their run, and then they went on a lengthy run for a little while in terms of competing for at least being a championship contender. But that trade was immediate because within a few months they won the title. Like, that trade flipped them over the top. And then the other one I would mention, Headley, is the Knicks trading Starks for Sprewell back in 99. And that trade ended up working out because even though it was a lockout year, that they went all the way to the finals. Now, they lost to San Antonio. But that trade was immediate in its impact, right? I mean, Starks was beloved in New York. He was beloved in New York. Like, Starks was a New Yorker, you know what I mean? And by the time the playoffs came around, they were like, Starks who? Like, Sprewell and Allen Houston were balling out. It didn't result in a title, but they went to the finals off that. And then the only one I can think of other than that is Paul Gasol going to the Lakers in 2008, which again helped them go to the finals, but they lost to that same Boston team. But other than that, other than those, I guess those four trades. I'm not ranking them, but like. Yeah, I think this trade is definitely high on that list, you know, especially for all the reasons you just mentioned.
The one I was thinking about was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Bucks to the Lakers.
Right, but again, that didn't result in the title right away, though. That's the only thing.
Those ones, none of them hold a candle to it, except for maybe the Boston trade. But regardless, with the Boston trade, I felt like it was a combination of two, because it was Kevin Garnett, but it was also bringing in
Ray Allen
too. Yeah. It wasn't really just one trade.
That Sheed one was huge though too, because that flipped them over the edge. Like, Detroit was like a solid playoff team, but that one made them a championship contender, and it worked because they won right off that, right?
Yeah, they won, but at the same time, Detroit, what was their record? They weren't a one or a two seed when they beat the Lakers.
Yeah, they were.
They were?
Yeah, they were. So it worked out.
It worked out, but like still, I said, still like, not at the same level.
I'm not ranking them, but those that's what ranks.
And Paul Gasol was still he was the second fiddle, so I mean that doesn't rank it either. Sprewell, I mean, as you said, they didn't win, so I almost forgot about that trade.
Yeah, I'm talking about immediate impact that trade specifically led to that team going to the finals that year. So those are the four you can compare it to, I would say, in the last 20 years that had that kind of impact. Because even Shaq, when he got traded from LA to Miami, they went to the finals and won the next year. You know what I mean? It didn't lead to the immediate impact right off from year one. So those are the only ones I can put in that room of with Kawhi that had the immediate impact, whether they won or like I said, in New York's case, they lost. But all this to say, basically, that this trade here is one of the greatest trades ever made. It's probably the best gamble that's ever been taken. You know, it's probably one of the best gambles I've ever seen, I would say.
You know why it's not the same? Because with Speed, with Paul Gasol, even with Rashid, they weren't the clear one on the team. Like, we traded Kawhi to lead us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which he's done. The closest one is definitely Kevin Garnett, because Paul Pierce wasn't the leader, but again with that trade, it was a comp. No, it wasn't. I mean, they Boston had been losing. Granted, it wasn't a great team, but Paul Pierce wasn't considered the leader of that team. In my opinion, it was Kevin Garnett. But regardless, because don't forget Kevin Garnett. That I still remember that Boston team was horrendous on defense, and literally with the same personnel, other than Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, but Kevin Garnett.
Well, they got rid of some guys too.
But Kevin Garnett, they the same way that you're talking about how Toronto has basically taken the personality of their team. That was how Boston was with Kevin Garnett, especially on defense. But at the same time, you cannot underestimate or undergrade what Ray Allen brought to that team. So that's the reason why, like, to me, this Kawhi trade, there's nothing else. And not to mention the whole saga that he had with San Antonio, where San Antonio didn't trust him or didn't believe his injury, where he had players bad-mouthing and talking to him, and then how Toronto flipped that and said, you know what, we're going to bring in your doctors, we're gonna put your own people on payroll, like his best friend that was at San Diego State and his trainer. So it's the whole transformation of how they went about this offseason. And then the whole thing with how moody Lowry was during the whole time, didn't want to talk to nobody. He even said, he wasn't really responsive to Kawhi at all at the beginning. I don't think he even spoke to the guy until this press conference. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So the whole storyline of how this went couldn't have been scripted any better than the way that the reality happened. It really couldn't have. And Messiah better win another executive of the year after this season. I don't care what John Hurst did it with the Milwaukee Bucks. What he did here, the chances that he made this year, he deserves it.
It's one of the greatest gambles that you've ever seen in sports.
Great, yeah.
It's one of the greatest gambles you've ever seen. You know what I mean? The fact that it resulted in a championship or you know, maybe I'm speaking too fast, but like the fact that it can result in a championship, like it's again, like what can be said? Like I said, at the end of the day, when it's time for him to resign, I think MLSC should just give him a blank check. Tell him to write whatever number they want on it.
Well, I mean, it's a max. I mean, obviously it's a max. But I don't even go as far as to say, and I think we said that we both agree. I believe he can't walk away from this, but let's say he does. It was all worth it.
You talking about Kawhi or Masai? I'm talking about Masai.
Kawhi.
I'm talking about Masai.
Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about Masai.
Well, I think after this, he deserves to be the highest paid GM in the NBA. Because put it this way, there will be teams clamoring to get him. We've already talked about this before with Washington and LA. If Kawhi leaves or whatever the case may be, maybe he decides to take that paycheck and go as well. if he's not making $8 to $10 million a year right now, I think his contract is at 5 or 6 right now.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know when it expires, but it shouldn't be anything. It should be anything less than 8.
Well, again, it's kind of why Washington, the Wizards, hasn't gotten the GM yet, because I think they feel like they're going to shoot their shot with Masai.
Yeah.
They still haven't gotten the GM yet. I think they're waiting for the finals to be over so that they can shoot their shot with Masai. But, I mean, again, it's, you know, if they end up winning a title, I don't see Masai leaving. I don't see him leaving either. You know?
I don't see him leaving either. However, even if Kawhi leaves, if they win a championship and he leaves, as I was saying before, it was all worth it. I would still trade DD in a heartbeat. You told me that we'd only get Kawhi for a year. That year we win the championships, still don't win.
And going forward, I'm gonna go crowd surfing on the city's wave right now. I say the Raps win it all Monday night, and we're gonna celebrate like the good citizens we are, Headley. We're not gonna have the Montreal come out of us. We're not gonna be looting down the city or burning down buses. Let's leave the crowbars at home. There's no sports fever to get at. but like I said before, if there's any team that can come back from a 3-1 lead, it's this one. It's still in their DNA, but I think, again, I'm riding the city's wave right now. I think we're gonna be doing a lot of celebrating on Monday. And I'll say it again, I repeat, I am not doing a podcast right after this game. Because all it's going to consist of is me screaming on Yonge Street. So give us like 48 hours and we'll put it out. That's all I ask from you, the listeners, anyway. because we're not. I'm just telling you now. We're going to be on Yonge Street. Most of the South Sharaf family is going to be on Yonge Street. Y'all are going to be on Yonge Street. So you ain't listening to that podcast the next day. Neither am I.
Not even that. We didn't even talk about the fact how the bars in Toronto, on games that they play, have been up like 50 to like between 50 to 70% typically than what they usually do because of this run. Like the money that this finals has put into the city of Toronto has been stupid, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been unreal. All right, brother. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
No doubt, man.
I'm gonna see you Monday.
Yep, for sure.
Thank you all for tuning in to the AF Podcast. I'm always grateful that you continue to listen to these episodes. Here we are. One win away from clinching the first NBA title in the Raptors' history. But before we end this off, there's a few things I want to lay out first in the event that they win Monday night. Kyle Lowry, after all the years of being the team's mercurial point guard, and he's been their longest remaining player since the start of this whole We the North era. And he was almost traded before this era even began. Since then, he's had 5 All-Star games that he's played in, an All-NBA nod, unfulfilled expectations when it comes to the playoffs, within the event, of course, that this has been the most successful time in Raptors history. I think that he's going to be my nominee for the one player or the one person that you'll see first that's shedding tears on the court Monday night if they win. And then there's Masai. Masai Ujiri will solidify himself as a legend to Raptors Nation for literally everything he's done here in the last 6 years. From the whole We the North campaign, incorporating Drake into the franchise, utilizing the G League, to the point that he built it up. He was probably the first GM to build it up like an actual farm system. He's had his draft picks develop, like guys like Siakam, Fred VanVleet, Jakob Poeltl before he got traded, and then even this year, you know, picking up Chris Boucher, and Boucher, even though he's not playing, I think he might make a little bit of noise next year. You have a guy that's won a G League MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. I think that's the first time it's ever been done. So he's utilized that 905 franchise to the point where it's paying dividends in the finals right now. And with all the success that they had since that point in time, since 2013, when all that success and all that progress hit the ceiling, he traded away his most beloved franchise player and the coach of the year. He essentially opened up the convertible so that we can all see the potential that he saw the entire time. I'll say it again. Just give him the blank check. Let him fill the numbers in himself. The Raptors themselves can join the Blue Jays, the Toronto TFC and the Argos and getting a ring before the Maple Leafs. Although, I think the Maple Leafs are due. They just can't meet up with the Bruins again in the playoffs, just under any circumstances. Maybe they can get traded to the West or something. I don't know. And let's look at it like this. In a decade that's been ruled by LeBron with the Heat and the Cavs, Steph, KD, and this Golden State run, which has solidified themselves as a team of the decade, Kawhi Leonard will come away with two NBA titles with two separate teams and two finals MVPs, especially coming off a year where he missed an entire season and got traded to a team that was nowhere near his wish list. And what he's done has been historic in so many ways. He ran through a gauntlet of playoff opponents this year, Philly with Embiid, Butler, and Simmons, when nobody believed that the bus could be stopped, and most importantly, when nobody believed that Giannis, the Greek freak, can be stopped. And even though he gives up weight and inches to him, he stopped him to a degree that exposed all his warts. Warts that everybody was willing to ignore until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now he has a chance to dramatically change how the Warriors are going to look going forward. He will have stopped his second team from three-peating in the last 5 years. And if that's not enough, the same guy that gave you one of the most awkward laughs in the history of laughter. that laughter right there, right. This guy would have delivered something that few people would have ever saw coming. He would have made New Balance cool, and he brought cornrows back. And he did all this without barely saying a word to us. At this stage, he can basically live and eat anywhere in the city right now, drive any car he wants, and the city's willing to pick up the check. I said this at the beginning of the season, that this was an incredible social experiment that we're going to witness firsthand. A scarred, scared, and jaded fan base and an extremely introverted superstar coming off a year-long injury. And we put them in a test tube together to see what will happen. And what was created was a new element. And that element, in less than 48 hours, could make Kawhi, Masai, Lowry, and this team legends for life in the GTA. And I'd love to sit here and tell you that this was all going to happen, but I'd be lying to you. And I can't lie today. It's Sunday, after all. South Sharav is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe to all the shows that comes from South Sharav Radio, specifically on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Stitcher. All right, and make sure you rate the shows as well. 5 stars, please, 5 stars. Amen. And to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Headley, this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until later this week, folks. Peace. We the North.